Now, thank you again for each one that has come out tonight. We're very glad that you would want to spend this hour with us. And before we read from the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, we'll open in prayer to God. Father, we are thankful to Thee this evening that there is a Savior that we can be singing about in these hymns and reading about from Thy precious Word and considering tonight in relation to the truth of the Gospel. We thank Thee that He is a precious Savior. He is Thy well-beloved Son. And the Scripture says that Thou didst not spare Thine own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, delivered Him up to that death on the cross and the suffering that He endured there as He paid the price for man's sin. And this is the work of salvation. And on the basis of that work that He finished and that has pleased Thee and satisfied Thee for eternity, we thank Thee that there is a salvation available for everyone, for each one that has come to this meeting tonight, younger children and older folks as well. There is a salvation that is available. We thank Thee that the gospel speaks of Thy love. Thou art the God who so loved the world that Thou gave Thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we have just been singing in the chorus of our hymn, can we slight such love as this? Can we reject such love that Thou didst show in giving thy Son as the Savior and giving Him to Calvary to pay the price for our sin? So we pray that the message will, for help for the message tonight and for each one that's gathered, Thou knowest the needs of the hearts of each one. And we pray that those that are not saved will be, that Thy word will speak to them and that they will be brought to the blessing of so great salvation that is found in the Lord Jesus. So we commend the meeting to Thee now, and we return again our thanks for the Savior in His worthy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Now I'd like to read, particularly in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, but I want to firstly read a verse in the Old Testament relative to that from Isaiah 49. You don't need to turn to this verse if it's not convenient, but it's Isaiah 49 and verse 6. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And this verse is the Lord God speaking to His Son, the Lord Jesus, speaking to Him as the servant that would be sent into this world. And so God is speaking to His Son, Isaiah 49, verse 6. And He, the Lord God, He said, it is a light thing, a small thing, that Thou shouldest be My servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give Thee for a light to the Gentiles, that Thou mayest be My salvation unto the end of the earth. The Lord God, the God of heaven, is saying here that He is giving His Son as this one who is, He says, My servant, a service that the Lord Jesus would accomplish by coming into this world as a man. And He would be given to be a blessing to all of humanity, to all men and women, a light to the Gentiles, all of the nations of this world. Not only to bless God's earthly people Israel, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, restore the preserved of Israel, but a greater thing, He has been given for a light to the Gentiles, that Thou mayest be My salvation unto the end of the earth. And so that verse tells us that the Lord Jesus is the Savior for every person that has come here tonight to hear the Word of God. Now let's turn over to Luke chapter 2 and read at verse 25. Luke chapter 2 The Gospel of Luke, New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now God will bless the reading of these verses of Scripture. The great theme of the chapter that we've read from here in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2, the theme of that chapter is finding Christ. Finding Christ, the Lord Jesus. At the beginning of the chapter, it's the shepherds who find him in Bethlehem as the newborn child. At the end of the chapter, it's his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, who have lost him when he was at the age of 12 years in the city of Jerusalem. And they find him in the temple in Jerusalem amongst the teachers and the doctors. And then in these verses that we have read, there's an elderly man, Simeon, and there's a very elderly widow woman, Anna, and they both find Christ again in the temple there in Jerusalem. He was just an infant child. He was 40 days old when those two individuals found him there in the temple. And all those who find Christ and who recognize him as the Savior and appreciate him as their own Savior, they are greatly blessed. That's why I gave out that hymn, Have You Found the Savior Precious? Have you found Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? It brings great joy to the hearts of all who find Christ for their eternal soul salvation. And I wonder for each one that's come along here tonight, have you had that experience in your life of finding Christ, coming to the Savior and receiving him as your Savior and being blessed with the forgiveness of your sins and receiving the gift of God, which is eternal life, and knowing the blessing of salvation, that you are ready to be in heaven with God for a coming eternity? Do you have that inward joy, that inward peace that we see so clearly in relation to this man Simeon and also this lady Anna? They were at peace because their faith was resting securely on the person of Christ the Saviour. They had found Christ. They had found him who is the Son of God, the one that God sent to be the Saviour for all. And I read that verse in Isaiah 49, verse 6, written by Isaiah the prophet, maybe over 500 years before the Lord Jesus was born into this world. But it's all about the person of the Lord Jesus. He will be the servant of the Lord who will be sent to provide salvation for all men. And that verse, as I've already briefly explained, God is saying to his servant, the Lord Jesus, it's just a relatively small thing that you will be my servant in relation to the nation of Israel, my earthly people, that you'll raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved of that nation of Israel. But here's a greater thing, and this is for us all to appreciate tonight. God says to his son, I will give you to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth. And this is the verse from the Old Testament scriptures that's in the mind of Simeon that we've read about in Luke chapter 2. And we'll speak about him more just in a moment. But it declares that God has sent his son into this world to be the Savior for all. He will provide salvation by going to the cross, by dying there as the sacrifice for sin there upon the cross. And he will make salvation available for all peoples. Whatever nation you come from tonight, whether you're Canadian or Ukrainian or from the United Kingdom or from whatever country, for all nations, for all peoples, the Lord Jesus, he is the source, he is the center of God's salvation unto the end of the earth. He's the Savior for all. He's the Savior for you tonight, whoever you are. And so here in Luke chapter 2, just a few weeks after the Savior has been born into the world, and we read of this man Simeon and this woman Anna, and they have been brought to appreciate the most basic, fundamental truth that any person can never be brought to know and believe, that God's salvation for sinners is found in the person of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. He is the only Savior. There's a verse in Scripture that says, neither is there salvation in any other. Speaking about the Lord Jesus as the Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And here in Luke chapter 2, he's just an infant child of 40 days old. He's not yet 6 weeks old. His earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, they've brought him to the temple and to do according to what the law prescribed in relation to a firstborn male child. And as far as his humanity was concerned, he was an apparently helpless, dependent infant child. But the wonderful truth that was appreciated by Simeon and by Anna, something that the Holy Spirit of God revealed to them, was that all of God's blessing for humanity is found in this one. God's salvation is found in a person. God's salvation is not found in a process, a way of living, a practice. It's not found in some profession or some religious activity. No, God's salvation is found in a person, the person of the Savior, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these two individuals, their faithful appreciation of the Lord Jesus as that Savior is clear from the way that they speak about him. Simeon takes up the child Jesus in his arms. He blesses God, And looking upon the Lord Jesus, he says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." So he understood that God's salvation was in the person that he was holding in his arms. And then Anna, verse 38, she spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And she had the same faith, believing that there's a glorious redemption for sinful humanity to be found in the Lord Jesus. God's salvation for sinners, and the sinner's redemption, it's found in the person of God's only well-beloved Son. He is the only Savior. He is the blessed Redeemer. Simeon says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He is the Savior. Anna spoke of him for all that looked for redemption. He is the blessed Redeemer. And so this man, Simeon, we're not specifically told that he was an old man, but I think it's likely that he was. He recognized that he was soon going to depart from this world. And he's described as a man who was just and devout, patiently waiting for the Savior, for the nation of Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And so here is a man with faith, and he believes the word of God. He believes that God will deliver his nation. And you think, well, how did Simeon come to that faith? And the answer, I think, lies in the meaning of his name. Because the meaning of the name Simeon is to hear, to hearken, to listen. And Simeon was a man whose ear was open to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. And it says of him, or he says there in verse 29, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He was listening to the word of God, and the Holy Spirit was taking the word of God and speaking to this man and bringing him to the conviction of the truth that God has in his word. And we all need to do the same thing. Romans 10, verse 17, a verse there in the book of Romans says, "Faith comes by hearing." Hearing, the name Simeon, hearing, to hearken, to listen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And it's a very basic principle that God speaks to people today, and he speaks through his word. He speaks to men and women. He speaks to boys and girls, and he speaks through his word. And we need to have an ear that is open to hear the voice of God. That will be the basis to come to faith, the blessing of faith, and the blessing of salvation. And so I challenge each one here. I ask you, are you interested in listening to the word of God tonight? Are you interested to know what God has to say to you as an individual tonight? A verse in Isaiah 55, God is speaking. He says, "Hearken diligently unto me." That means listen carefully to me, God is saying. He says, "Incline your ear, draw near," he says, "hear and your soul shall live." There was quite a number of times when the Lord Jesus was here in this world, and he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." An appeal to listen to what the Lord Jesus was saying. John 5, verse 24, "He that heareth my word," the Lord Jesus says, "and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." God speaks through his precious word, the Bible. And in his word, there is recorded for us the truth about the Lord Jesus and the very words of eternal life. And so are your ears open tonight to hear these words of salvation? Or are your ears already closed to the word of God? We're glad to see each one that's come along tonight. And it's good that you would desire to be under the sound of the Word of God. But you could come to a meeting like this Sunday after Sunday, and you could be going through the motions of hearing what is being said, but not really truly listening with a desire to hear the voice of God. And that is what I want to challenge you with tonight, to recognize that it is a privilege to be under the sound of the Word of God, but do you desire to hear what God has to say to you? Do you desire truly to be blessed with God's salvation? Simeon was one whose ear was open to hear the Word of God. He was sensitive to the Word of God. He was sensitive to the will of God for his life. And the Word of God had been given to Simeon, verse 26, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. So God had told him that he would die, but not before he had personally had the opportunity to see in a physical way the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And this was revealed to him by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was upon him, verse 25. It was the Spirit of God that led him into the temple in Jerusalem the very same day that the parents of the Lord Jesus brought him to the temple to do for him according to the custom of the law. So it was the leading of the Spirit of God that these two were brought together. Simeon and the infant child Jesus and the Spirit of God brought them together according to what God had promised to this man. And I wonder if there's one here tonight, and could this be the night when the Spirit of God will lead you to Christ for salvation and to receive him as your Savior? There are those sovereign dealings of the Spirit of God, but there's also the responsibility for each person to appreciate that we need to personally receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And we see that in relation to Simeon, because having been brought to the presence of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God, Simeon then, he took up Christ in his arms and he blessed God. There was probably many other people in the temple that day, and they might have seen the infant child Jesus, and they never embraced him. They never recognized this is the Savior. But Simeon was led by the Spirit of God. He was sensitive to that. He was listening to the Word of God. And as soon as he saw the Savior, he blessed God. He recognized that this was the blessing of God for him. And he responded to that, and he received the Savior for himself. So he not only heard God's voice, but he was obedient to it. He bowed in obedience to the Word of God. He personally received the Lord Jesus. That's the obedience of faith. That is the faith that saves the soul. And it's really just the same for that woman, Anna, that we read about in the last few verses that we read. She came into the temple at the same time. And you might have thought that in the natural course of things, you might have expected that it would have been the elderly woman who would have lifted up the young child rather than the man. But here it was the man, Simeon, who does this. He wasn't being led to do that by a natural human emotion, natural feelings towards a young infant child. It was the Spirit of God that led him to pick up the Lord Jesus and to appreciate who he was. The Spirit had brought him to that point where he personally embraced the person of Christ as the Savior. And that's the only direction that the Spirit of God will ever lead a person who's not saved, to bring them to Christ and to bring them to appreciate Christ as personal Saviour. And so we just ask you again tonight, has there been a time in your experience, has there been a time in your life when the Spirit of God led you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour? And if that has not happened in the past, will it be tonight when you will respond with the obedience of faith and you will receive the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? And so Simeon responded in that way, and he says in verse 29, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Because his faith was resting securely on the Lord Jesus, Simeon knew that he was now ready to depart this scene of time. He doesn't think of it as just dying. He thinks of it as a departure. He thinks of it as a peaceful departure, a peaceful departure to another scene, to a brighter place, to a better place. "Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace." And that departure for Simeon, it held no terrors. It held no fears. He knew it would be in peace because he had found Christ, because he was trusting in the Lord Jesus for his salvation. What a beautiful picture this is of the blessing of salvation. To be able to know that your departure out of this world, whatever the specifics of it, whatever the details of the process of dying might be, when you come to death, the Christian knows it's a departure for a better place, to be with Christ, to be with the Lord Jesus, because the Christian is one who has received him, the Lord Jesus, as their Savior. I thought of that man Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He was the first Christian martyr. He was violently stoned to death. There was an angry mob of religious Jews who were putting him to death. And it says that they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were very violent in the way that they killed him. But Stephen was at peace. And it says of Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up steadfastly into heaven. He saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Stephen was at peace in his soul as he saw the Savior that he was trusting in, standing, waiting to receive a faithful servant. And that angry mob, they rushed on Stephen. They were stoning him to death. But as they did that, Stephen was calling upon God, and he was saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." His spirit was departing from this scene. It says in at the end of Acts 7 of Stephen, he fell asleep. He was being put to death by a violent mob who were stoning him to death. And the Christian martyr, Stephen, he fell asleep. He was at peace. It was a peaceful departure out of this world and into the presence of his Lord and his Savior. And so, what about for ourselves? Will it be a peaceful departure from this life for you? You need to get this matter of salvation settled now before you die. The verse warns in the Old Testament, prepare to meet your God. And this man Simeon had prepared and he was ready. And that prayer that he says, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace," he was ready to leave this world knowing that he was secure in the person of the Lord Jesus. "Mine eyes," he says, "have seen thy salvation." He recognized that God's salvation is found in the person of the Lord Jesus. You know, there might have been other children that were brought to the temple that day. We don't know. It's possible. The other children were brought for the same purpose, to do according to the custom of the law. Simeon wasn't looking towards any other of those children if there were others. He was only looking to the Lord's Christ, the one that God had given, his own beloved Son, the one that came down from heaven, came down into this world to be the Savior. The verse of Scripture says, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So Simeon was depending on the Lord Jesus for salvation, nothing more than Christ, and Christ alone was all sufficient. And that's true for every Christian. The Christian only has Christ to take us into eternity, not anything that we can do of ourselves, not our works, not our prayers, not our religious activities, not our kindnesses, nothing of that, only Christ, the Savior. That's what the Christian has to take into eternity. But what about you? Do you have Christ as your Savior to take you into God's eternity? That was all that Simeon had. He held the Savior in his arms. And because of that, because of that faith of Simeon, where is he tonight? He's in heaven. He's blessed with an eternal salvation, an eternal redemption, because he had appreciated the truth of the Lord Jesus as the Savior. And why is he the Savior? Why can we depend upon Christ for salvation? We can do that because of what he did at the cross, the finished work of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. He gave himself there as a sacrifice for sin. He suffered on the cross. There was 3 hours of darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour. And God was dealing with his Son in relation to man's sin. It's the work of salvation. The shedding of his blood, the shedding of his precious blood there on the cross. That is the basis of salvation. And that is what we proclaim tonight, the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, when he writes to the Corinthians, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, the unbelieving ones foolishness, but to them that are called, Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So we preach Christ and him crucified. It was there at Calvary, the place where he was crucified, that he provided himself as that sacrifice that has satisfied God. A holy God has been satisfied in the death of his Son. God raised his Son out from death on the third day. That's an evidence that God is pleased with what the Lord Jesus did. God is resting on the work of his Son, and you and I can do the same. We can just rest, we can trust, we can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has provided for our salvation. He has died for sinners on the cross. We can receive him as our Savior, recognizing that he died for us there upon the cross. Just like Simeon holding the Lord Jesus up in his arms, looking with his eyes upon the person of the Savior. You can do that tonight, even now. As you've come to this meeting, as you sit in your seat right now, you can embrace Christ as your Savior. You can look upon him and recognize that he is the Savior that can save you for all eternity. And Simeon then quotes that verse from Isaiah 49. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, verse 31, 32, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon knew the word of God. He knew that verse in Isaiah 49. He was led by the Spirit of God to speak here of the broad, unlimited scope of God's salvation. A light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel. The point is this: nobody is outside of the blessing that is available in Christ. If you respond and receive him as your Savior, whoever you are, you can be blessed. And Simeon recognized that the Lord Jesus, he wasn't just the Messiah for Israel. He wasn't just a Savior for the deliverance of the nation of Israel. He's the Savior for all peoples. He's the Savior for all tonight. And so that is why in the gospel we preach to the whosoever. That's a verse that you'll find very many times as you read through the gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Whosoever. Whosoever you are. Whoever you are. Whatever your race, your nationality, your background. Your eyes can be opened spiritually to turn you from darkness to light, a light to lighten the Gentiles, to turn from the darkness of your sin to the light of God's great salvation. You need to come to the Savior tonight, because if you reject him and you refuse him, then you'll experience the judgment of God for your sin. And so Simeon understood, Simeon appreciated that the Lord Jesus was the Savior. And so too did this woman, Anna. Just in closing, she was of a great age, it says. She'd been widowed for 84 years. God knew every single year of her being widowed, and that tells us that God knows the details of our lives. Every detail of your life, every year, every day that you've lived, God knows all about it. There's a verse in the Psalms, Psalm 132, God knows our down-sitting and our uprising, which is just an expression which means that he knows everything about us. He's acquainted with all of our ways. He knows all of our thoughts. It says in Psalm 90 that our secret sins, that is as far as men are concerned, the sins that we do that other people don't know about, our secret sins, the verse says, are in the light of God's countenance. They're known to God. He fully sees everything about us. Hebrews 4:13, all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of God with whom we have to do. So God knows all the details of our lives. He knows the sins that we commit. He knew all the detail of this woman, Anna, her life. But she was appreciating Christ as the Redeemer. And Christ was the only one that she wanted to speak about. She came into the temple just after Simeon. She gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, like Simeon, thanking the Lord that she had been brought into the presence of the Savior. And then when she went back out of the temple, what does she do? She spoke of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She recognized that he was the Savior. He was the Redeemer. And she would be one who witnessed in relation to the Lord Jesus. And she wanted to speak to others about Christ. She had found her eternal salvation in the person of Christ. And she wanted others to hear about him and also to be brought to that blessing. Christ was the subject of all of her hopes and all of her desires. And what about you tonight as we close this meeting? What does Christ mean to you? Does he mean to you the same as he meant to Simeon? Does he mean to you the same as he meant to Anna? There's a verse, a question that's asked in Matthew's gospel. What think you of Christ? What do you think about Christ? The person of Jesus Christ. What do you truly think about him? What do you believe in relation to him? And Anna, she spoke of him to all that looked for redemption. And if you've come to this meeting tonight to hear the word of God, if you're looking for God's salvation, the only person that we can speak about and the only one we want to speak about is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, then what do you have? All you have is the passing, temporary things of this world. A world that will be judged by God. And if all you have is the things of this world, then you've nothing for eternity. You've nothing for when it comes to the end of your life. And you go out into God's eternity and your eternal, never-dying soul goes into eternity. If you do not have Christ now as your Savior, then when you die, if you die in that way, you have nothing for eternity. But those who find Christ, they will testify that He is the one who satisfies our souls, not only for time, but for eternity. The believer in Christ, the Christian, has an eternal salvation, an eternal redemption. It's found alone in the person of the Lord Jesus. So if you're not saved tonight, will this be the day? Will this be the time when you find Christ? And that will be to the eternal saving of your soul. We trust that that would be so for each one that's come tonight. And thank you again for coming. We really appreciate your presence with us, and we trust that God would bless His word to each one. Before we close with a hymn, we'll pray. Father, again, tonight we're thankful that we can speak of Him, the Lord Jesus, in relation to salvation. We thank Thee that Thou didst give Him for all people. For everyone here, there is a salvation available. We thank Thee that the Lord Jesus was the perfect servant who was obedient to His mission to be the Savior. We thank Thee that He willingly went to the cross, knowing the great suffering that would be His portion when He paid the price for sin, when He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. We thank Thee that He was willingly shedding His precious blood when He gave Himself there on the cross. So we give thanks for these truths. We pray for every soul that's here tonight. Thou knowest the details of our lives and where we are, where we stand in relation to Thyself. We pray for those that are not saved. We pray for their soul salvation. Be with us for the rest of this day. Take us to our home safely, we pray. Thank Thee again for the Savior, and we do so in His alone worthy and precious name. Amen.